You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Barrett, Trey Punch of the time clock on a Thursday. Wow, the week has absolutely flown by, and we are locked and loaded here, expecting another just huge day in the world of college football, and expecting news maybe any minute on the SEC schedule. Will it be announced today? Will they go with the old Friday news dump? I can't imagine why. If you're the SEC, you would want to do that when you could get some conversation going around your league. Certainly, the ACC has got a lot of conversation this afternoon as they released their schedule earlier today. And the college football top 25 has been released, the coaches poll, and Tennessee is the first team in the other receiving votes category. So I guess that makes us number 26. Bear, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Russ?
Yeah. I just don't know what to make of any of this. It feels like we're having two separate conversations. On the one hand, you've got these conferences that are just full steam ahead. This is our plan. This is what we want to do. And on the other hand, you've got the players who are getting together and saying, wait a minute, how's this going to work? Like, what's going to happen? How often are you going to test us? What's going to be the protocol for when players get ill? And we had another. We had two, as a matter of fact. Big-time players today, Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons and Miami defensive end Greg Rousseau have opted out of the season. So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I blame them. And we're living in a new time, Russ. I mean, you know, I've kind of seen this coming for a long time. I think we all have. And maybe the pandemic just finally brought it about, brought things to a head. But, you know, I think student athletes, especially in football and men's basketball, are seeing, you know, the kind of money that's made off of them. And, you know, you throw into it that this could be potentially a life-threatening or life-altering illness, and some of them aren't so eager to jump right back into it without some assurances.
Trey Wallace is with us as well. Trey, when you look at what's happening right now, what do you expect from the SEC? Do you think that they would? I mean, it makes sense to me on a number of reasons. First of all, if you want to steal some of the ACC's thunder, go ahead and release your schedule, get fans popping about it this afternoon and all through the weekend. Or if you're worried about the PR, and I don't really know what the angle is there. I mean, there are some people who are saying, oh, look at these crazy colleges trying to make their players go out there and play in the middle of this pandemic. Maybe if you're wary of that, you would want the Friday news dump. What do you think? Or do we even know yet? Is the SEC still in scramble mode trying to put their schedule together?
No, I think the SEC schedule is actually done. I think they're fine-tuning a couple things, and that's why an announcement could come sometime later this afternoon or tomorrow. One thing that was told to me with the ACC releasing all their dates today for these games, that maybe it wouldn't have been the smart move for the SEC to come out, but then I was told about an hour ago that the SEC could just release the two opponents, and then we'll figure out we'll learn the rest of the schedule with the dates and whatnot if any teams are moved around.
I think they should do that
tomorrow.
I think they should do that. I think they should just announce the opponents and maintain some flexibility, because I really like what the Big Ten did yesterday and just all the built-in flexibility that they have for guys missing games and teams missing games and making games up and postponing games and things like that. And I just wonder if the SEC isn't looking at that and saying, oh, well, why don't we think of that? And maybe just go ahead and announce the two extra opponents who every school is going to have. And then that way, you know, coaches can prepare and spend some more time working out the details of the schedule, because I also like starting the season earlier. If you've got the players on campus and if they're healthy, which maybe they're not. I think there's been a lot of suppression of data going on around the country. But if they are and they're on campus, you might as well get started while you can. If you're healthy, why wait to get unhealthy? I say just go for it.
So are we all in agreement here, the three of us, that we fully expect Tennessee to get screwed on this deal?
Trey,
on the two opponents?
Trey, it sounds like LSU and A&M. Is that getting screwed?
I told you 2 weeks ago about A&M that's probably going to be – that's potentially going to be one of the games here, because they don't want to mess up the 21 and 22 rotation. Now, that could be one big surprise, and, you know, for Tennessee's sake, maybe they would get Ole Miss and somebody else, but it just keeps sounding like that potentially that the A&M-LSU matchup, and I hope they're wrong. But Tennessee could end up having to play five of the top 15 teams in the new coaches poll this
God
season.
Almighty. And they're going to spin it, Trey, by saying they don't want to mess up the rotation. Is that how they're going to spin this?
Yeah, well, they don't want to deal with – I've been told they don't want to mess up the rotation of the Tennessee Ole Miss game, and then you down that road to the Tennessee – I forgot their 22 opponent.
Well, we don't want to mess up Tennessee and Ole Miss. I mean, you talk about a pivotal SEC matchup that we've all been waiting for. I mean, you can't mess with that, right?
No, but it's not even about that.
Don't trip on my sarcasm.
I know that. It's not about that part. I think it's just about the strength of schedule part is what confuses me if they're going to go by this, because just by today's college football coaches poll, Tennessee's already playing three of the top 15 teams in the country. I can't imagine what that would look like if you add Texas A&M and LSU to that stat.
Well, let's just keep it real then. And I mean, this is dry. We don't lie to each other. I feel like this is nothing more than, you know, a sham, because Georgia and Alabama we're just along for the ride, and they get what they want.
Florida was one of the teams that was complaining the loudest about it. I mean, you talk about the biggest whiners in college athletics, the University of Florida. First, the LSU Hurricane debacle a couple of years ago. I don't know if they won the game, but still, they were the whiniest bunch of little wusses that I've ever seen in such a tough sport. And now this, it's absolutely shambolic is what it is. Guys, I'll throw this question at you here this afternoon, and I don't know if this is a Rick and Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day or not, but I hesitate to even ask it, because it is – some would say it reeks of a defeatist mentality, but if we're going to play five teams in the top 15 and we're starting out basically at 26, going 5-5 or worse would be a huge setback, in my opinion. We cannot afford to have this recruiting class that they're assembling right now fall apart. This is critical, as Butch Jones would say, to rebuilding Tennessee football. I almost feel like if we could just get this class on campus as it's constructed now. We got a kicker yesterday. I know he's going to walk on, but he sounds like a really good kicker to replace Automaglia next year. Would it be better? And just hear me out. Just approach this honestly. You probably know what I'm going to ask. Would it be better long term for this program if the season were canceled?
Wow. Everybody, the whole thing just gets canceled?
Yeah,
rather than us getting the shaft from the SEC?
Yeah, and play this out. Yeah, we don't get college football this year. That would suck. It'd be awful. I'd be devastated. Listen, man, that would hurt fan run for sure. But for Tennessee football, as far as getting this program back to respectability, we go 5-5 and schools come in and poach our recruiting class, Terrence Lewis goes elsewhere. Dylan Brooks gets flipped. You know, they don't want to go for to a program that, who knows, maybe Pruitt's perceived as being on the hot seat. I don't know. But on the other hand, the season's canceled. Yeah, it's that would just be miserable, as I said. But if you get these 25 signees on campus and you sign a top five signing class, I don't know that you're back at that point, but we're not talking about 7-5, 8-4 in 2021, right? We're talking about 9-3 or better. Trey,
yeah, I mean, that's a,
go ahead, Bear.
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, I would hate there not to be college football, but I mean, it just absolutely sucks that they're getting ready to do this to us, and they can go sell crazy somewhere else. I'm all stocked up here, Russell. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, ensuring the integrity of our rotating, you know, whatever gobbledygook they're trying to spout out about why we're not getting old. Who would it have been? Ole Miss who was their
Ole
next
Miss and LSU.
LSU. Yeah.
Which would have been so awesome, right?
I think it has everything to do with the fact that Alabama doesn't want to play Florida and Georgia in the same year.
Trey, long term, for Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer's vision of getting Tennessee football back, and I know the hyper-competitive alpha male in us all wants to say, no, man, bring it on. Let's play. Let's do – we'll beat LSU. We'll take Bama. We should have had them last year. Like, we can go 8-2. Everybody's thinking that, right? I guarantee you, if this is our schedule, Vegas is going to say 5-5 is the prediction. And Vegas said 7-5 last year. Guess what? We went 7-5. So
yeah, I think that Tennessee, you know, to that question, you suck it up. You go see what kind of team that you have. You go try to beat two of these teams, and you call it a season. I think Tennessee is good enough to beat Missouri. I think they're good enough to beat Kentucky. I think they're good enough to beat Vanderbilt in Arkansas. So go line up and go play them. See what you got. This team, look, everybody was talking about this team could go out to Oklahoma and win that game. So why the hell are we getting scared now? Go out and prove yourself against these other two teams. And if you got to go to Death Valley to do that, take that in for instance. There's not going to be a big crowd there. Go down there, line up, put your chin straps on, and see what your ass is made of.
And I mean, nobody's saying that, man. It's just the crap. The fact that this happens. Nobody's scared of playing those teams, but just for them to be this unfair about it.
Yeah, I guess, Trey.
And it's just so obvious.
I guess the response, Trey, would be, yeah, let's go see what you're made of. What if you're not made of what you hoped you were made of? What if you go 5-5 and your recruiting class falls apart, and then you come back next year? Hopefully everything's back to normal. We're all vaccinated and you got 100,000 fans, and you're looking at another 7-5, 8-4 type year, as opposed to the season's canceled, but and these high school kids, they all miss their senior year of high school too, which would be awful for them. But they sign with Tennessee and they come back next year, and you've got a top five signing class to add to the roster that you've already assembled here, and all of a sudden you're in a much better position going forward in 2021.
Yeah, but who's to say that? And I'm just, look, Georgia's breaking in a bunch of new players this year. Florida, I mean, Florida's got to go win the big game. I mean, I know it's Dan Mullen. They've got some talent down there, but I don't trust them right now either. Go line up and see what you have in this division. I mean, look, I said last year Georgia was going to lose two SEC games. What happened? They lost two. I could see Georgia easily losing two SEC games, maybe three this year, and Florida in the same boat. So you're lining yourself up with an opportunity. Don't forget, we are still playing East and West divisions here. So, I mean, I get, okay, let's say you split with whoever these new two teams are, okay? But then you beat Florida. Okay, well then you're setting yourself up for a pretty interesting season, especially with the way the schedule could play out. Let's say if Florida's got to go to Tuscaloosa, or Georgia's got to go to Tuscaloosa, because Georgia's already getting Auburn. You know, Florida's already put, I'm just saying there's so many different dynamics this year that this, hopefully another SEC East team gets screwed and gets mad about this, because this will end up potentially helping Tennessee when it comes to East standings this year.
Well, you've got this conversation, the competitive conversation, the team building conversation, and then on the other hand, you've got the finance conversation. And you know, as even if you do want to take the line, and I don't know that I'm taking this line, but I do think it's a question that needs to be asked of Tennessee would be better off not playing the season if the season were canceled. Even if that's your position, that's going to be a just unfathomable financial loss for not just Tennessee, but all SEC schools, all schools across the country. And you saw yesterday the Pac-12 taking out $1 billion worth of loans to distribute amongst its member institutions just to float them through the next year or so. And that's assuming that they're going to play and they're still taking out these huge loans. And today, Penn State is under they're taking some heat as they announced, because of their state government regulations, they're not going to be able to have any fans at the games. And accompanying this announcement, they send out a letter to people who had made donations already for their season tickets, basically saying, look, if you want a refund, that's fine, but we can't guarantee you get to have your tickets again next year. Trey, you know,
good
a lot of
luck with that.
Yeah, and you guys both know a lot of season ticket holders. If the University of Tennessee did that to this fan base, I mean, it ain't nothing for us to go down to the Clinton Highway Walmart, get a bunch of pickaxes, and light some torches. We'll have a damn – we'll form the mob right now. It ain't nothing for us, Coach. I don't think they would do that to Tennessee, but, Bear, you know this place would not handle that well.
Well, no, and I mean, especially considering all that, I don't think they would do that just because of what they put this fan base through for the past, 10 years, definitely, 11 years now, going all the way back to the Kiffin. I mean, they've bungled and mismanaged so many things, but just to give one more giant FU to this fan base, I guarantee you, I mean, we talked about it before. When Trey and I were trying to explain to people that, we realize that the big money people are they're going to take care of them, but, you can't exactly go pissing off that next tier of people either. Because they, you put them all together. I don't know. I was surprised when Trey sent us that Penn State was.
It's pretty ballsy.
Yeah. I mean, especially considering what all that fan base has been through and the fact that, football, I mean, they humiliated them, their alumni, with that scandal. I don't know. I was stunned. Were you guys not shocked?
Well, it's not like they're saying you can't have it, but they're just, I mean, it's kind of a threat.
Yeah. I mean, you guys know how I react to a threat. Oh, really?
What do you think the sports radio and state college is like this afternoon from their version of the – what do we call them here, Bear? The Maynardville Mad Folks. Pittsburgh pissed off.
And the Happy Valley hatred worked up. I don't
Philly,
know.
Philly furious.
Yeah. I mean, should I take a break and, drop off and call up there and – stir it up.
I'm sure it's your kind of scene right now. Folks, we got a humdinger lined up this afternoon. We're going to talk to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic here in just a second. We'll get his thoughts on the state of college football moving forward. Coming up in hour number two, our friend Tony Vitello, the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, is going to join the festivities. And then at 5:05 this afternoon, really excited about this one, Kim English, assistant basketball coach with the Vols, is going to join. We'll get his thoughts on these freshman There's so much buzz around Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, and C.J. Walker. Jam-packed show this afternoon. Quick timeout. We're back with Joe Rexroad next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Drew and Fulke frantically scrambling behind the board. Love to see
it. What's going on in there, Russ?
We got it. We got it under control. Trying to find this PGA, man. PGA championship looks lit, Bear.
I'll have a report coming up at 4 o'clock on the top 44.
Tiger in the hunt?
Don't put it out there, Russell. We're not going to jinx, my guy.
Look like he's on the prowl to me.
I swear, every time myself and, you know, you've met him, that buddy of mine, Troy, every time we start talking about it, he immediately goes
collapses.
Bogey.
He had a bomb putt for birdie about an hour or so ago. So he's looking all right. Let's bring in Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Joe, Russell, Trey, Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there. How are you guys?
Hanging in there. I think we're all just kind of hanging in there, taking a wait-and-see approach on everything these days, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, hanging in there in 2020 is like I'm doing amazingly well. I'm having like the, you know, it's like fantastically wonderful. So, yeah, that counts as a major positive at this point.
Hey, you just got to count your blessings and hope for the best as we visit with Joe Rexroad of The Athletic this afternoon here on The Drive. Joe, let's talk some college football. It sounds like, you know, there are two separate conversations happening here. On the one hand, you've got the conferences going full steam ahead, preparing schedules, releasing them, debate about how those schedules are made and all that stuff, and that's very fascinating. But on the other hand, you've got players now expressing skepticism about whether or not the season can be safely conducted at all. How confident are you, as we sit here today, that there actually will be a college football season?
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm kind of around the same place I've been. You know, it's been such a roller coaster on that, obviously, as we've talked about Russell a lot. But I mean, I'm kind of the mind that it's so important to so many people, and it's such an economic necessity for college athletics that I think that we'll see some college football this year. Now, confidence level and in a completion of the season, in a completion that is like recognizable, you know, I don't have great confidence there. It's so hard to know what to expect. And frankly, just until the students get back on these campuses and then we see what that means. I mean, I know what I think it could mean, and you know, it's not a good thing for football, but at the same time, I guess you have to just not assume anything's going to happen either. Right. I mean, I do think that you're seeing, you know, like the Pac-12 players thing, obviously there were some things that made sense. There were some things on there that just aren't even, you know, really realistic. And then I thought the Big Ten players, they had, you know, they say more than 1,000 people behind it. It was much more, I feel like, reasonable, measured. There wasn't a threat to opt out. It was just like, we need this. And I think everything on their list they should get. So that's another part of this. I think, you know, there's still more that can be done by leadership now. And you got to do every last thing that you can do to make players comfortable and also to protect them and then try to make this happen.
Joe, what's the best way from your vantage point to do the SEC schedules, the weighted strength of schedule approach, or the just moving up the two rotators from the opposite division approach?
You know, I don't have a strong feeling either way on that, honestly. I mean, it seemed to make sense to me to just do the next two. But I understand the sentiment for I mean, I suppose, and it sounds like that's a real possibility. So, I mean, I guess if you gave me a choice, that's fine. You know, the weighted strength of schedule thing, I mean, I think that's fine. I'm not outraged either way. I think either thing is fine. I will say that with the SEC schedule, I really think the SEC, I understand the idea of waiting, you know, and kind of seeing the lay of the land and everything like that. But I like what some of the other leagues have done in terms of just going earlier so that you've got more weeks at your disposal ahead of you if things go wrong, you know. I mean, that's the only problem is you're going to wait and see how things are, and then you're going to ramp up and everything. But now you also have – I mean, you just have a tighter calendar when you start that late.
Well, some of the buzz here in Knoxville is that Tennessee might be getting – their two opponents from the West might be LSU and Texas A&M and Baton Rouge and then A&M here in Knoxville. And, of course, that would be – that'd be a tough draw for the Volunteers. There's a lot of – you know, I don't know if you've noticed this about Tennessee fans, Joe, but they're – prone to a little bit of conspiratorial thinking and victimization. But we asked a bizarre question before you hopped on. I want to get your thoughts on this. If that's the way it shakes out, and Tennessee would be at that point playing five teams ranked in the top 15 of the coaches poll that just came out today. Of course, Tennessee is unranked. Would it almost be better for Jeremy Pruitt's long-term vision for Tennessee football if the season was canceled as opposed to you throw up a 5-5, teams are going to be rating this recruiting class that you're assembling, you know, there could be whispers of discontent and stuff like that, as opposed to go ahead and lock up the signing class, come back stronger in 2021?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. And by the way, on the conspiracy thing, as someone who covered a program not named Michigan or Ohio State in the Big Ten, I'm very well acquainted with fan bases who think a conference office is conspiring against them. You know, like Michigan State fans think everything is tilted toward, just like everybody else in the Big Ten. So I get that. You know, I hear what you're saying on, you know, if you got this really brutal season, and you know that naturally you're going to have more losses, and more losses just means more chance for discontent and all that stuff. I still would say, if you look big picture at program development, I think playing football with this group of players and developing some of them who you're going to have later, and even just having a chance to show people like what this offensive line could be, I think there's still more value in that than just punting altogether. Now, look, if it's 4-6, then okay, maybe I think differently. But I think if you can get 5 or 6 wins on a schedule like that, I mean, look, you hope that you do rise up and win at least one of those games that you won't be favored to win, right? So I still think in the big picture of growing a program, I think Jeremy Pruitt has demonstrated player development and an ability to recruit players that fit what he wants to do and make them better. So I think you'd be much better off in 2021 still having that football played in 2020.
Hey, Joe, it's Trey. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, buddy. And we had this conversation yesterday about the Big Ten scheduling and the way the ACC is doing it compared to the SEC. So when you have the SEC starting on September 26th, but you got the Big Ten starting weeks earlier, it kind of gives them a little bit more wiggle room when it comes to trying to fit everything in, especially if something happens and they have to shut down, compared to the SEC starting late September and then trying to play that title game by December 19th with everybody getting an open date on the 12th. How would you rate these conferences when it comes to rollout of the schedules, times when they're going to start? I just personally feel like the Big Ten maybe has a one-up here on the SEC when it comes to start date.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do. I think that I get the idea of one, waiting and seeing, and I guess, you know, I mean, really it's buying time. But I could make a case for, like, play right now and maybe, you know, like start right now and play some games and maybe, you know, then you have to take a couple weeks off, then you play another one, then you have a couple weeks off, and you know, by the time you get to late November, you've played 7 games, and we'll call it a season. You know, like, I just feel like the more wiggle room later is a good idea here. So I agree. I like the, and look, I mean, you talk about whatever college football is played early. It's just like when baseball came back, and now, I mean, I've been going nuts watching the NHL, NBA. You know, I feel like it's just going to be such a huge deal if and when football is played. I don't think it's a bad thing to be on those TV windows some, you know, and the Big Ten will be as things stand, and the SEC won't be. So, yeah, I like the Big Ten's plan better.
How do you feel that everybody has, when it comes to trying to put together medical procedures and whatnot, and look, none of us are doctors on here, but it kind of feels like some of these, we're going to get into a situation, Joe, where a team might have 7-8 players, you know, out for 1 week compared to the next week. How do you think that goes down in between conferences, especially trying to let others know about what's going on with your team where, you know, maybe the opponent that you're going up against doesn't come down with or doesn't contract the virus? I find that part very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, well, and of course, going into game, this is why we're largely seeing, you know, teams play within their league. I think that's a big part of it is the, you know, the testing standards and just the reporting standards and all that stuff. But, I mean, it is going to be wild. And look, you see things like Colorado State, and I don't know, you know, I have no idea if that's all true. Obviously, there are some players who are saying that they're being discouraged from talking about their symptoms and all these just ridiculous things. The school has come out and very strongly refuted that, and some other players have been on Twitter and kind of said that's not how they've seen it. So, you know, but obviously some players do see it that way, and you wonder if that's happening in other places, to what level. I mean, man, you would hope that at this point, especially everyone understanding that, like, everyone's being watched, players are going to speak out and go on social media. I mean, I think that's a big part of all of this is college football players are, you know, like Iowa used to ban their guys from saying anything, and now it's like, no, you can't do that crap anymore, you know? So, like, that's good. I mean, there's more oversight, you know, from the inside now. So you would think and hope that weird stuff like that wouldn't happen. But hey, we know this sport. We love this sport, and we know that there's a lot of people trying to find an edge in a lot of different ways. And so then, how does that manifest itself in the COVID-19 world? I mean, I suspect we'll have some interesting stories on that as the fall progresses if we have football.
Last for me, I'm going to ask you about our mid-state teams, man. So the Preds, I've been watching them, dude, and their performance feels kind of lackluster at times. I don't, you know, the amount of goals they're giving up and whatnot. That's been an interesting to watch in that bubble. And then you've got the Titans starting up, if I'm not mistaken, next week when they'll start up their camp. And, you know, them trying to put together all the pieces. Give us an update on what's going on in the mid-state with the Titans and the Preds.
Yeah, and the Titans right now are about 21 minutes away from, you know, finding out if Vic Beasley opts out, big free agent signing of the offseason, and hasn't reported and initially didn't even communicate with the team. So that's a big deal for them. And I think even with Beasley, they should go get Jadeveon Clowney. Without him, it's like they have to go get Jadeveon Clowney, or I guess they could try Everson Griffin or something like that. But you know, they'd really be in a tough spot. Yeah, the Preds, I mean, you know, they really had a chance to win that game and go up 2-1 yesterday. I mean, they have a big-time goal from their second line with Matt Duchesne, Kyle Turris, Mikhail Granlund. Turris with the big shot. And, you know, Duchesne is just kind of sitting at the blue line and trickles over for an offside. They review it, and the goal's waved off. And you knew at that moment they were going to lose. I mean, you just did. I think Matt Duchesne knew it. It said it on his face, and that's exactly what happened. They made another mistake, gave up a goal. They're the better team. They're a better team than Arizona. They've outplayed Arizona most of the series, but that's hockey for you. You can do that, and if a goaltender plays like Darcy Kuemper played yesterday, you can still lose. So, I mean, it's, you know, if they don't get past Arizona and they have to win Friday and then they would have to win Sunday, then I think the possibility for major, major change with this team, the possibility of this roster being blown up is there, although it won't be easy for David Poile to pull that off because of some of the big contracts that he has given out.
Joe, thanks for the time. We got to run. Always appreciate it, my man. Everybody go follow him on Twitter if you haven't already, @JoeRexrode. He writes for The Athletic. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Always great talking to you.
Joe Rexrode making his presence felt. We're going to open up the phone lines when we continue here. Go ahead and hop on board, 865-546-8200. The Drive continues. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Barrett Trey back with you. Not ESPN. It's the USA Today coaches poll released today. And Clemson starts the season off ranked number one. They're followed by Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Oklahoma was number six. So it sounds like we traded in the number six team for the number five team. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, three of the
top
we're
six.
We're playing three of the top five.
Four of the top ten.
Four of the top ten, and, you know, half our schedule's top 15. I mean, who the hell knows? By the time we get into it, there may be, you know, I don't know who on the out of the other five has a shot at cracking the top 25. And maybe, I don't know, who else we got? South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Arkansas's got no chance.
So Tennessee,
can't remember who our fifth game is. Missouri.
Tennessee was tied with Boise State for 26th, the first team in the other receiving votes category. So here are some of the teams ranked above us. Oh, Iowa State is number 25. Virginia Tech's number 24. I feel like we take both those teams. Iowa 23, Cincinnati 22, Central Florida 21, Utah 20. We could be much better than all of those teams, right? I mean, I think we will be. But because of the schedule, you go 5-5, 6-4. And again, that's assuming, Trey, that Tennessee beats Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas, and South Carolina. That's assuming you win all those games, which is a dangerous assumption. If you lose the other five, you go 5-5, and it doesn't really do much for the Vols are back narrative.
It's dangerous, yeah, but it's something that, looking at the way this Tennessee team evolved at the end of last season and the talent they got coming back, especially with some spots on defense too, that they should be able to take care of. I still feel like if you really add them up and you take Arkansas, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, you know, I think those are five wins right there. And then you go find yourself three more wins. Go potentially beat Florida. Potentially beat an Ole Miss, A&M, Texas. I mean, I'm sorry, A&M, LSU, whoever they're going to add to it. And then I think your goal is still there to upset one of the three. Because if you can split with one of the remaining two and then potentially upset one of the three, then that's going to leave you with seven wins. And seven, if my math is correct, that would leave you with seven wins, right? So 7-3.
Who? What are the two quality wins you're getting? You're giving Georgia and Florida?
No. I'm saying, okay, so I'm taking the five wins versus Arkansas, South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying split the two new opponents. So that puts you at 6-1. And then you've got the three games left, Georgia, Florida, Alabama. Pick one of those that gets you to seven wins in the season.
I like the way you think, Trey Wallace. You're certainly optimistic. Let's see what the fans say. 865-546-8200. D.R. Vol is up first this afternoon. Hello, D.R. Vol.
Hey, guys. I like the optimism by Trey, but, you know, the whole Oklahoma thing, there's a big difference in physicality between LSU and Oklahoma. Now, what's going to happen when we play LSU, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and then you get to the wins you think you can get, but you're so beat up? Because I'm going to tell you what we don't have, and that's depth and a reliable quarterback. So what's going to happen when we get to those teams after getting just killed by four top 10 teams? Not necessarily killed on the scoreboard, but, you know, as physical as they're going to be.
Well, we don't know how the schedule shakes out. I mean, maybe we've got Kentucky and Vandy. Maybe we've got some of the cupcakes at the end that we could handle in a with a beaten up roster. But you're absolutely right, D'Arval, and of course the monkey wrench hovering over this entire conversation the entire time is the virus and whether or not you're going to be able to A, play the games, or B, what's your roster going to look like. And I guess the other thing is, you know, maybe Tennessee does a good job of quarantining its players and we're more healthy than other teams. You don't know. Maybe Tennessee plays Texas A&M and Kellen Mond and a couple of their skill guys are out with the virus. Well, that changes the outlook of that game dramatically.
You're right. And I don't mean to be DR downer. I mean, it could go on our side, but you know, you remember what Ramsey Bolton said, right? I mean, you know, like we get through those games and we got JT Stroud and Jeremy Banks moved back to running back and Henry T's out with coronavirus. It don't fare well.
What did Ramsey say, Bear? If you think this has a happy ending.
Oh, gosh, it's been so long I can't remember.
You haven't been paying attention.
Honorary VFL right there, if you ask me.
Ramsey Bolton. I think we'd be more close. Our fan base would be closer to Reek.
Yeah, I think we're Theon in that analogy.
Yeah. And
eating that sausage.
College football.
Oh, man. D'Arval, good stuff, my man. Anything else?
That's it, guys. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you. Let's get to Phil in here next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
What do you say, Dougie?
Philly!
I guess this schedule, Trey's already so we got 5 wins, but even those games aren't going to be gimmies.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, heck, you could have a big win against one of these top 15 opponents and cancel that out with you lay an egg against Mizzou, or you go to Columbia and don't have a good game, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think Kentucky will be a close game, and I think South Carolina will be a close game. And Missouri might be a close game. And you got Arkansas and Vanderbilt, who you should win, but, you know.
Well, and to Trey's point, Phil, I do think we should be able to play with LSU this year with no fans in that place. And Texas A&M, I realize that they are much improved, but we should play with them, man. That game, both of those games should be hanging in the balance in the fourth quarter if Tennessee plays well.
Well, this reminds me a lot of the 1980 Tennessee season. Tennessee had high expectations for that season, and they did not have a good quarterback, and they went 5-6 that year. I guess Bear ought to remember that year. That's a reason. George and Southern Cal, we should have beat them and didn't do it, and then we fell apart the rest of the year.
Oh, the Herschel Walker's freshman year?
Herschel Walker, and then we had Southern Cal beat. And they came in and they beat both of us right here in England Stadium, back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first year where I went to every home game. That was kind of where my streak started.
Yeah, I think that's the year Alabama held about 20 yards offense, and Pittsburgh was meeting Joe Green just to annihilate us in England Stadium.
God, I'd forgotten about it. I'd blocked that one out. Phil.
Well, that was a pretty good Tennessee team. They got beat up and had anything left. For the rest, I mean, D'Arval made a good point about injuries. Of course, that goes with everybody. And then you got this virus on top of that. So who knows what the heck's going to happen.
Maybe it's our year, Phil. Maybe we'll be the one team that just makes it through unscathed and everybody else will be collapsing with virus outbreaks. And Tennessee will just mow through the schedule unbeaten 10-0.
And it's going to be the year to get, Mo. Well, that'd be a great one. I'm glad y'all have Kim English on. I'd like to know about the post play. I think guard play will be fine, but I'm wondering what the post play is going to be like this year. Maybe y'all can ask him that. See.
Put it on my notes right now.
Phil wants to know about post play.
Right. Good stuff.
I'd be interested to see what kind of progress. I'm drawing a blank.
Plavsic.
Our 7-footer.
Plavsic. Urosh.
Yeah. Urosh Plavsic.
Man,
he's going to make. So That's the one thing about Rick Barnes. I mean, he's got his detractors. And
hey.
No, he hasn't excelled in the postseason of late, but his guys get better every year.
Yeah, and like Fulkerson, I know he flashed a lot his freshman year before he got hurt, and we had high hopes for him. But I don't think any of us thought that he could potentially be a dominant big man in the SEC with the kind of post game that he developed last year. So, yeah. I
think we did pre-injury, didn't we?
I don't think – I never thought – when he was playing at North Carolina that year, I didn't look at him and think, oh, that guy is going to be like the best back-to-the-basket big man in the league in a couple of years ago. I just thought he was going to be a high-energy – glue guy, do it all, make great plays, fan favorite kind of thing, and he's just turned into, I mean, man, he can score with either hand, he could put the ball on the he is a completely different player now than he was back then, and that's why I don't give up on Urosh, and I'm not giving up on Kamwa, who didn't look very good last year. Who else, Trey? We had a couple guys. Pember looked lost out there. I think all those guys have some potential.
Olivier Kamwa?
Yes.
I wonder who they're going to redshirt. Like, if you really think about it, who would you redshirt off this squad right now? Because you're going to have to probably redshirt somebody, because all these guys aren't getting playing time. So do you redshirt?
I mean, my first
Olivier
reaction is Pember.
Pember?
Yeah. I mean,
because DeVonta back on more weight. Enough to give you work on defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, Pember seems like the guy with the hardest path to the court for playing time. Guys, hang right there. We got to take a quick break. Bears got the top four at four. Hour number two of The Drive coming up on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.